Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
News broke at approximately 2:30 p.m. local time that the jury had reached a verdict in the trial of Derek Chauvin versus the state of Minnesota. Accompanying this news was a notice that the reading of the verdict would occur between 3:30 p.m. and 4 p.m. The verdict was then read at approximately 4:05 p.m. by Judge Peter Cahill.
Members of the jury, I will now read the verdicts as they will appear in the permanent records of the 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, District Court, 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota Plaintiff versus Derek Michael Chauvin, Defendant. Verdict, Count 1. Court file number 27, CR20-12646. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 1, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count 2. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 2, third-degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Signed by jury foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count 3. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count 3, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Jury foreperson 019.
The verdict, guilty on all counts, was cheered by the crowds gathered in front of the Hennepin County Government Center and at 38th and Chicago, where George Perry Floyd Jr. was murdered. This emotional expression was unsurprising and depicts the widely held skepticism that police accountability would actually occur. For many people, this verdict is a first in the long quest for racial justice. But for others, it presents an opportunity for an incoherent political stunt. Ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the House.
So again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice. For being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you, and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
The empathy and understanding is just absent. This was the best outcome possible through the judicial process, and people are allowed to be happy or relieved that the outcome was guilty. But the political messaging from the governing party reflects this triumphant moment for the nation, and it's just not.
They feel like it's some sort of world-changing event that occurred today. And it wasn't. It was the system preserving itself by casting aside somebody, but they're happy. I know I'm being so negative, but they're happy because they finally found justice. They finally found something that was so fucking absurd that their only choice the jury had was to convict, because there was no more hiding behind things like the medical examiner, which we'll get to. There's nothing hiding behind probable causes or, you know, accidental tasing of guns or scared for life or any of that. Everything that happened to George Floyd and from Chauvin violated pretty much every single argument that the cops usually use to get off.
So was the outcome today justice, or was it accountability?
In the terms of Keith, I guess it was accountability, right? I mean, justice, this isn't justice. I mean, and this is where Keith's, Ellison's, we're best friends, I guess, speech was about accountability. And this goes back to what we've been saying all along, which was, if I was any other employed position and I fucked up this bad, like if I was a linesman, and I didn't kill the voltage, and I killed like three of my crewmates because I fucked up, I would be held culpable for that. If I own like a grain silo and I paid a 16-year-old to stomp it down, which happens because the grain gets caught and you have to get the air bubble out and you end up stomping it down by walking basically on top of it, but you can get sucked in and dry drown. If I don't put like safety harnesses on the kid, guess what? I'm held accountable for it. Like, but a cop can go out and shoot somebody or put their knee in someone's neck and kill them? I mean, that's just wild to me.
And he was out on bail, and as a result of the conviction, his bail was revoked today. So that's a win in some measure of the word. But to have the general population and have Biden and Kamala and Pelosi and Obama trot out that something world-changing happened today, like you just said, is farcical. It really just means that the system was responsive enough to self-preserve and totally crush an individual that was such a part of the system for so long until they didn't become useful. And that's Chauvin. So our absolutely lava hot take on this is that Chauvin is a victim of this.
Chauvin is an absolute piece of shit murderer. There's not a single good cop. Any cop that says they're good has ruined someone else's life, by the way. Any prosecutor out there that says they're doing justice has ruined people's lives. That's just the facts. So going back to this idea that Chauvin is a victim of the system, he really is in a way because he went too far to expose what the system really was, which is designed to basically terrorize a community to prevent you from stepping out of line.
He was called by Capitol to defend $20.
Literally went to a storefront for $20.
And everybody wants to eulogize Cup Foods and be like, oh, this is such a pillar of the community. And it's like, no, fuck them.
No, they're class traitors who absolutely killed a man.
So you have Chauvin, who was called to defend $20. He got there and he defended $20.
Yeah.
He did exactly what the system is designed to do, which is create a state monopoly on violence so that the working class can't use the threat of violence for its own well-being. And you see this happen with shit like, oh, we burned down the police station. Okay, so that threat of violence caused charges to be filed and set in motion accountability for this officer that did exactly what the system intended to have happen, which was to defend Capitol. And like, Capitol doesn't give a shit about violence because Capitol commits violence literally every single day. Every single day. People die every single day as a result of Capitol's actions. This one was just caught on tape and it was way too visceral for a lot of people to visually observe. Chauvin, terrible human being, going to jail. We have fucking no issue with that. But like Charles McMillan said in the testimony, the goal is to have you go home to your family and whoever the subject is, go home to his. That didn't happen in this case. Both George Floyd and the cop don't get to go home. The system is so fucked up that everybody's a victim.
Yep. And to the point where it's a almost like a dog and pony show at the trial. Right? We tell this in half of the testimony trials for the Chauvin, you know, run through that we've been doing, which is Nelson is a terrible lawyer who basically defends drunk drivers. He's just a terrible, terrible lawyer. I mean, a terrible person, but also a terrible lawyer who couldn't even get, like, good character witnesses.
Yeah, he got zero good witnesses.
Zero good witnesses, because it wasn't designed to get Chauvin off. It was designed to feign defense. And Chauvin did not know that. Because Chauvin should have testified. He was already railroaded. Chauvin knew he was fucked from the prosecution. There's no way any logical, any sense of it at any time you could think you're innocent. Under Amy Klobuchar, who is actually a senator now, this same shit ran rampant. And in fact, she was such a terrible prosecutor. People got away with all the stuff that they're getting away with now or being charged with. She let happen. No one even knew about it. The judge now was her deputy. So he went through the ranks letting cops do this shit in Minnesota or in Minneapolis continuously. He knew he was fucked. He should have went on the stand and buried the Minneapolis Police Department. Buried them all. He should have let so many skeletons out of the bag. He should have buried every single fucking person he ever made eye contact with in that police department. He should have buried them on that
stand. It was his only plausible defense. So getting back to the Nelson being a terrible lawyer, the entire construct of this trial put Nelson as the lawyer because the police union, of which Chauvin is a member, pays a lawyer to defend cops that do dumb shit. And this police union has zero incentive for Chauvin to get off. Like, from a game theory perspective, why do they care?
They don't care at all.
They don't give a shit at all. And Nelson wants to make money, presumably. He might be contractually obligated to provide legal services in this context.
He might be legally culpable because he's a lawyer doing defense.
So he has to put on the best show possible. And as a defense attorney, you don't get to choose your facts. He's dealt a shitty hand. Like, he's very unlikely to win here. I think he probably knew that, which is why his entire rebuttal and his entire closing argument was just absolutely incoherent, throwing shit at the wall and hoping something stuck.
That was one of the most incoherent 2-3 hours of my life watching that thing. It was bananas. It was bizarro. Cookie, talking about making cookies and shit. Oh, man.
Aliens, recipes.
Again, Chauvin, we're not going to say Chauvin was a good person. He's a piece of shit that deserves what he gets. He deserves worse than this. But at the end of the day, though, he wasn't actually defended. He was sacrificed to preserve the system. And maybe that's a cynical take, but it's the reality of the situation. Because if you went on that stand and he was like, this is my training, the police chief knew about this, they knew about this, I was taught this, we talked about it like this, we said these terms, we treated every minority this way. If he went on there and just spilled the fucking beans, then he may have gotten off, because now he's basically saying exactly what we know, that the Minneapolis Police Department is a corrupt, RICO-violating organization.
It's a criminal organization.
Absolutely.
And that was really Chauvin's only viable defense, was to say that I was a member of this organization that was so corrupt that I can't be held accountable for the actions of this entity.
Yep.
Like, it's so fucked up that, like, I'm just a person. What am I to do? I am just a lowly member of the working class. I was a cog in the machine of this death machine, basically. And it kills black people, and I was an actor, and I killed black people, because that's fucking what the system does. What was I to do? I was trained over the course of many, many years, but instead, none of that happened.
This is what real change would look like. And the reason why we're bringing this up and talking about it so much is that the takes that we've heard today are some of the most idiotic, shit-live mentality ideas we've ever heard in our lives. The thought process that this one trial in, what, like the 46th most populous city in the country, something nuts like that, is going to have some profound impact on the rest of the nation's policing. It's absolutely dog shit insane to think that. And then to come out and say things like, this is going to be one of the greatest justices ever, or blah, 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 it is nuts to me. I mean, during the time of this trial, I mean, there was a murder, like, by a police officer, like, every day. I mean, a 13-year-old was executed. Somebody died in Chicago, in Minneapolis. Nobody cares. And while this is still happening, there's actually mass shootings going on, too. So there's additional violence happening, and nobody cares about it. It's not like there's going to be real justice in the system. And we're not, and again, I'm all hyped up, because it's a frustrating take to not only hear it from the conservatives who want to show it off because it's basically racism and police bootlicking, and then the shit libs who want to show him convicted because they believe that that's going to be a change. And then you get online and the leftists are saying shit like, wow, they held him accountable. This is a great day for, you know, change and la la la. Really, all they're saying is the same thing shit libs are saying. And to hear Van Jones on CNN, God damn it. It's just, fuck that guy so much.
We both watched the Van Jones thing just like completely coincidentally. And we both bitched about it. And it was like, he was going on this long-winded rant about how it is so great to see all these white people care about policing in America. And I'm just sitting back like, this dude fucking like bootlicked for Biden for like months and years preceding his presidential bullshit, while just absolutely crucifying any of the leftist like police reform movement bullshit. And it's just like, fuck off.
Fuck you, Van Jones. I mean, he was the guy that was Obama's energy secretary, right? Was that what he was? Advisor? And he got sacked because he was too radical, but he basically bootlicked his way into a basic, like a CNN job. Obama coming out saying shit like, oh, this is a great day. What the fuck?
Like, he wasn't fucking president for 8 years, and like his biggest diplomatic victory was the beer summit.
Yeah, like Ferguson didn't happen underneath Obama. He acts like Tamir Rice wasn't executed in 2014, right? I mean, there's no justice there. He had the Department of Justice on his side at that point in time. He could have railroaded Cleveland. You could have went after him as an organization, but he didn't.
Like, declare them a fucking terrorist organization for killing
just
kids.
Just tear them down. Yeah.
And cut off like, all the funding. You don't exist anymore.
You violated civil rights. We're going to do a full investigation for civil rights and violation. Anyways, it's frustrating. So back to the trial. Hot takes on this thing is police power is preserved. Keith got a win.
Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, who was a former rep in Ilhan Omar's district, who relinquished his seat to run for Attorney General.
I don't know if that's important or not.
He'll be getting reelected is how I would frame that.
Basically, yeah. I would say then what else happened? I mean, Chauvin's fucked. The family of George Floyd gets a little bit of peace. And I think if we take a look at the justice of it all and take that step back and stop being all hyped up about, and I'm just hyped up about the idea that this is really going to change, at least the family gets some closure now. And that's the most important part. Friends and family get the closure. It doesn't change policing, though, at all. Right? It's the closure. It's the healing that gets to happen to that 9-year-old who's now 10.
that witnessed the whole scene to go, what I saw was wrong, and now it actually is wrong, and they can put some like societal context around that. The other two hot takes that I loved were this idea that, oh, I didn't think Chauvin was going to be convicted. It's just so rigged. And it's like, I don't even know what that take is.
That's a weird take.
It's like self-defeating, and it just flies in the face of like basic logic. I think we said on pretty much every one of the recap episodes that, yeah, the system is going to crucify Chauvin. And we're not even through all the episodes yet in terms of them being released, but it became pretty evident that this wasn't going the way of any plausible defense.
He did get railroaded, and it just, they had to. They had to railroad him, because without him sacrificing, the system would be questioned more. Now are they going to question the Minneapolis Police Department more?
No, the system works. They held their officers accountable.
Right.
And that goes kind of in line with my other point, which is, oh, well, the blue wall of silence was broken because you had cops testifying against him. No, it was self-preservation.
The three other cops are there. Did they testify?
No, they're charged. Their trial's going to be in like, what, 3-4 months? They also had a terrible day today, because now they are actually fucking potentially culpable for aiding and abetting, which effectively carries the same charge that Chauvin got.
Yep.
The facts are a little bit different, but if you're the cops and you're the system, I think you've had enough justice and accountability for the time being, and you can go back to, oh, well, it was just this one bad apple, and see these other two cops, they were training and they didn't know any better, and you know, they just followed orders and killed all the, you know, Jewish prisoners in Auschwitz. It's fine.
Yep. It's fine. This is the fear I have for the fact that the trial ended with the guilty verdict, which I actually am pumped about it. Even though I'm negative about the actual take, I'm happy that he's actually going to go to prison, and we'll see how long it lasts for, because there's always appeals and good time and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, though, there is some accountability that's happening, and that's all we're asking for.
Yeah, so qualified immunity is absolutely the next step in the whole like police struggle for accountability. And you are starting to see various municipalities in the U.S., absolve qualified immunity so that cops can be held accountable for their shit without having liability just dissolved into thin air.
Yep.
And all the drivel or whatever after the verdict today, did you ever hear the word qualified immunity mentioned anywhere?
Nope.
We need to do the George Floyd Police Accountability Act, and we need Congress to act, and I'm Kamala, and I'm black, and I'm going to turn it over to my racist president, and we're going to talk about how this was a big day, and there was no mention of qualified immunity for anything at all whatsoever.
And self-insurance, right? There's no discussion about cities being able to insure themselves. And there's no talking about police unions. Police unions funded Nelson. They fund the Blue Wall. They own, like, the Medical Examiner. They own pretty much a lot of people. And it's a huge, huge organization. Honestly, if you want to take a look at how labor should be organized, take a look at the police union. I mean, they will not break. They do not budge. When they come hard. They go insane to the opposite of the pendulum. Whatever you're bringing it on, they go the other way. They don't give a shit. I mean, it's the literal model that every union should strive for. The UAW should strive for the fucking police union mentality. Fuck you. Fuck everybody here. We're shutting this shit down. We're going to make I Can't Breathe t-shirts, or I Can Breathe. These are our streets. Just fucking fucked up, sick-ass shirts. But you know what they did? They're protecting their own. Now, I am not saying I agree with the police union and their stances. What I'm saying is the way they're militant and the way they act is the model that all unions should take. Militant enforcement of the union values through and through.
They are defending their members who are workers. So you raise an important point about the medical examiner. The concept of a medical examiner is never discussed, but it's incredibly important in the initial investigation of a crime that causes death or bodily harm. Typically it's death because they're examining a dead person. We learned through the testimony that they have basically five choices: homicide, suicide, accident, undetermined, and natural causes. If you're a medical examiner and you get a dead body and the cops are like, oh, we don't know what happened, there's historically been this wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge to just say, yeah, I mean, we killed this guy, but if you could just make it an accident or have it be natural, that would be great. And you saw snippets of this functionally happening when you had the Maryland witness testify for the defense. And he was basically like, oh, this George Floyd thing, I would have classified it undetermined. And you're just seeing in real time that the literal medical examiner is just siding with the cops. And it's like, how fucking much has this happened historically? And the answer is an insane amount in every jurisdiction.
Because they're all hired by the same entity. There is no separation of the state this time. And so the state's only real response and job is to preserve itself.
And in Hennepin County, which is where George Floyd's death and the investigation happened, by all accounts, the medical examiner appeared to do everything correctly, medically, procedurally. There's no evidence of malfeasance, really, that is observable to a layperson. Now, counter that to Maryland, where the guy is literally providing evidence that he would have classified this as undetermined, and he was the medical examiner for the state of Maryland for some number of years. Like, that's super fucked up. So in Hennepin County, the Hennepin County Board appoints a board of effectively medical experts who then interview potential medical examiner candidates. They rank those interviewees, and then they forward that report back to the full county board, and then they appoint that individual to a four-year term. I mean, it's kind of a fucked up, convoluted process. At some point, you do want medical experts weighing in. You might not want the general population voting on this. And it in Minneapolis, it appears to have worked because you had a medical examiner that was, by all accounts, generally qualified. He did a good job in this case. But that didn't happen in Maryland. And that probably doesn't happen in other jurisdictions. So this medical examiner role should be heavily scrutinized, and you should figure out what kind of jackass is your medical examiner, whatever county or big city you're in.
It's a self-selecting group of people. It's not like you're a forced volunteer. It'd be different if it was something like pro bono requirements of a lawyer on the bar.
Where it's like a rotating position, and all doctors of a certain grade
have to do
10 autopsies in a year for the county.
Yep, which would then mean there would be no impact. In fact, that's one thing we should recommend, right? That there is no... That's a rotation. If you are in that county working, you owe them 10 autopsies, or 5, or 7, or...
Whatever the fucking number is.
What the fuck cares? The arbitrary number. But you don't get to be like, oh, I want to cut open dead bodies and make sure the cops get away with it. That's what's effectively happening.
Right. And that's what you want to avoid.
That's exactly what you want to avoid.
The important thing, though, is that all of the liberals can get back to brunch, because social justice is now a thing. Racism is gone. Black people aren't going to be gunned down by the police, even though it literally happened like
a day later,
a week before the verdict was announced at Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. We have solved racism at the institutional level of the police. So
this is one of those times and events where so much energy went into it, and now everybody's going to back off. It's like when Obamacare was passed, and everybody backed off the leftist agenda. It's like the wall got stalled, so no one gives a shit about the kids in cages.
Are there kids in cages still?
I'm not sure. Biden said he's going to fix it, but he's a fucking liar.
Or are they in overflow migrant detention facilities?
Oh, that's true.
It's hard to keep track.
And are they even migrants now, or are they some other name that they're going to name for doublespeak?
Well, they're not illegal aliens anymore, because we're not going to use that term.
So it's just doublespeak. This is just 1984 mentality. It's like climate change versus global warming, right? One sounds better than the other. It's just literal propaganda.
It's like defund the police versus abolishing the police. It's the same thing, right? Same thing?
Yeah, of course, because defunding the police means that we're going to decrease its funding. So what are they going to do? They're going to pass laws saying they can't decrease the police budget in Florida. I don't even... There's so much you could do. You could defund the police. You could recategorize them. You could fire them all and hire in medics and train them on security. You could fire your police force and contract with the sheriff's office, which is actually at least an elected position.
Yeah, whereas the chief of Minneapolis is appointed by, like, the mayor, kind of, but also the city board has input.
The biggest takeaway here from the case is that justice was not served. One person was held accountable, maybe three others. And the one thing that we should all be worried about is that the energy for police reform is going to slowly fade away because we got one conviction. And the liberals are going to let it die because they are bootlicking police state loving assholes. And they're going to just say, look, the system worked. And our job on the left is to keep fighting.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.